Would you mind telling me your name and the background you work in?
Yeah, so my name's Fiona Booth. I work for the Department of Energy and Climate Change. It's a government department. And I'm head of community energy there. So I'm a civil servant, policymaker, with responsibility for affordable, secure and sustainable energy. So.
How did you come to be interested in working on energy issues?
On energy issues? So I'm 33, and when I was about 10, I was really interested in deforestation of the rainforest. So that got me first interested in the environment. So I joined Young Friends of the Earth and kind of just, you know, a lot of understanding what was happening and why, and then got interested in global warming and then wanted to study the subject at university. So I chose environmental management and then I did a sort of, after that, renewable energy. Then went and worked in the rainforest, my first job. And then I've just kind of been involved in climate change, sustainability or energy. So now community energy is about, you know, everyone in their everyday life wanting to do an energy project. And it's kind of all around decentralization of the energy system that we have at the moment, where energy is just generated by a big power station. Community energy is about, anyone getting involved in energy. So,
thank you.
If that answers your question.
Do you think there's a lack of education in energy in our public community?
Yes. Shall leave it there, or extent. I think people are really disengaged from the energy debate. I think people think they know more about energy than they do. And then when you ask them about their thermometer or something, they're like, oh, just wait until I hear the click or whatever. So I think it's a national conversation that everyone should be having. But government, I don't know whether government's best place to run that communications campaign, because we are, you know, amongst the banks, the journalists and government, we aren't the most trusted. So that's why, going out into communities and talking to lots of different people, it's really important to start those conversations. Because everyone uses it every day.
Are there talks of making this happen, just out of curiosity?
Making
a national conversation and
So we, DEC has communications campaigns and things like that, but we do online stuff and adverts and all sorts, but it would be interesting to think what you guys, this is a great opportunity to have those conversations.
What was the question that you asked on the cloud and why?
So my question was, so that is for future generations what they would ask us. So my role, head of community energy, it's about sort of changing the traditional energy system that we have, which is centralised, controlled centrally by big power stations that kind of just give everyone power. Community energy is about decentralisation at a local level. So my question was, why did you think centralised energy system was the way to go? It's for the big six energy companies. That's my question.
Thank you very much. So, in your view, what is the relationship between energy and the economy?
Energy, you can't have growth without energy powering big business or, creative industries or anything, without energy, no growth. But it has to be sustainable and affordable and secure. It's a massive three-pointer challenge that we have. Businesses could become more energy efficient and get an advantage that way, reduce their energy bills. They're both interlinked. So,
but surely the way renewable energies are going, the more technologies that are coming out, do you think it's possible this could work without the economy? Just out of curiosity.
Without the economy?
Yeah.
So what?
So in terms of profiting in that way, do you think it is possible without the profit, without, rather than just enhancing and helping the community, is that possible?
I think with energy, the way it's going now, more people know that the big six profit, and whereas community energy is more about getting not-for-profits up, and it's not all about making profit, it's just providing energy in kind of a fair way. The community energy groups that I work with aren't driven by profit, like one of the big six energy companies are driven by profit. They recirculate their profits into fuel poverty and energy efficiency measures within their community, and they have that on-the-ground direct contact with communities that perhaps the big six don't have on the ground.
So international corporations such as Apple and Starbucks have used energy to build and sustain their businesses. How do you see them surviving without it?
Without energy? Well, they can't. They're whole. You know, they need energy to make their products. So I think, and also Google last week have bought an ex-power station in America, and they're turning it into a really efficient data center that's 100% renewable, I think, just that site. It's a no-brainer for businesses to be doing things like that. If there's no energy, you won't be able to sell a laptop that needs power. So, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, in our bid to gain energy to power our own economy, how can we ensure equality and fairness with the countries that we trade in?
So one of our objectives is to have really strong international climate change talks. So we want to be really ambitious in how we engage with the international community to set those targets. I think we can learn a lot from other countries, what's going on in Germany and Denmark with their energy systems. I think that's probably more for our international team to... I'm community energy. It's like, yeah, I don't go international apart from trying to learn from Germany. So leave it there.
Okay, what do you think of the future of fracking, or is fracking a part of our energy future?
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously I work for the Department of Energy and Climate Change, so we're responsible for fracking, make sure it's done in the safest way possible. So we need lots of different ways of getting our energy. We're heavily dependent on imports from other countries, so a lot of our gas comes from Russia and Norway and things like that. So homegrown, locally sourced energy, it's definitely part of the mix.
What sources of energy can be used renewably? So we've got wind power, we've got nuclear. I guess I'm asking, in your opinion, what is the future of that?
So, well, it's all about the mix. We have loads of tidal energy, wind energy, in the UK, solar, I don't even get that much on, but it's technology that works. Hydropower, all sorts, anything basically.
Thank you. which renewable energy source do you think will be the most cost effective?
So,
out of the three we mentioned,
so out of
solar, even tidal, sorry,
tidal.
Even the different types of energy resources that we have.
Yep.
So,
wind, we have stats, onshore wind's the most cost effective. So I can send you those stats if you want. We have a whole list of all the different technologies, so I can send you that.
What is your view of the future?
The future? I think, definitely a more decentralised energy system, keeping it local jobs and growth and things like that, to meet our carbon targets.
So what year do you think London will become carbon neutral?
Carbon neutral London? I don't know. I couldn't say. You interviewed Matthew Penchards, didn't you? He's the Mayor of London's energy advisor, so
yes.
I'd be interested to see what he says.
Last week we interviewed him. Again, we didn't personally
interview him. Oh, okay, fine.
Okay, globally, the current process of getting oil and distributing it creates inequality and poverty in the world. How might sustainable energy affect change or improve this?
That's a tricky one. Yeah, I think if you look at the communities that host the oil industry, I think, there's some really shocking practices out there from oil companies. More transparency with the energy industry might make that better. I mean, we've had massive fair trade mark, so could the the oil industry do something like that. I don't know.
I'm curious. Our housing situation in relation to energy, what is your opinion on that?
So we have a lot of housing that needs to be improved.
The effect, could you elaborate a bit about the effect on our planet, our country?
On our country?
Okay.
So do you mean, what do you mean by housing? Do you mean the lack of housing, or do you mean...
The use of energy of housing, so this could be gas, electrical, water, so energy in the house.
Yep.
I guess, what is your opinion on that, and how it is affecting our planet,
Well, how, the most of our carbon emissions come from buildings, so... they're a big old contributor. And we have policies in place to improve energy efficiency of housing stock. But, people are just not interested in... we had... the Green Deal, for example, was about improving people's energy efficiency measures. And then we have something called the Energy Company Obligation, which, again, looks to improve housing stock. But, obviously, it affects carbon emissions.
What policies would you like to see, or how can we kind of do things to reduce fuel poverty in the UK?
So I work for the government, so I'm responsible for those policies. What was the second bit, sorry?
What would you like to see to reduce fuel poverty?
Reduce fuel poverty? I think more people talking about it, friends and peers and at work. We need a whole new... sort of energy conversation in this country. More energy literate people, more schools engaged. I think working with schools and colleges and things like that is a good opportunity.
I'm really interested in what you're saying, because you're saying that in order for policy to happen, there needs to be an energy conversation about this. What communities are you lacking in order to actually get a decision?
So with community energy, it's your usual suspects that are aware of the issues anyway. People that have worked in the renewables industry, or their financiers, or their lawyers, or whatever, we need to kind of get better at talking to the people who aren't engaged. And I think with community energy, sort of having those projects in local, that there's a wind farm down the road or something, it's my policy, so I kind of, I think it's an opportunity, definitely. I don't think I answered the question then.
What would be your energy strategy?
My energy strategy is the UK's first community energy strategy, so...
Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so it was launched last January, and it's... last year it was DEC's most downloaded publication page or something. So it does represent quite a lot of interest in the area. And it's not just renewable technologies, it's purchasing energy, managing it, and reducing. So it covers kind of not just renewables. But we want anyone, regardless of background or location, to get involved in an energy project. So
I'm just interested because, say, if someone in the central part of London's, what's the difference of energy consumption in central London to probably the outskirts of London? So I guess I'm just curious, how would you manage that? Does it meet all needs, or?
It's in the local area. So we have a couple of policies to help support development. So 10 million urban community energy fund and a 15 million rural community energy fund. So they help groups explore what types of technologies work in their area. So something in the centre of London would be different from what's outside. So it's at that local level what people want to work on. We're not dictating what should go where. It's for the communities to find out what they could do.
Do members of the community have access to that information?
So we know there's about 5,000 groups across the UK working on community energy in some form. We talk to a lot of stakeholders, and we do, all sorts. So, they're very active. But again, it goes back to they are the usual suspects. So kind of how can we find the not usual suspects that need to learn more about energy? But we think, yeah, at the local level, it's better at reaching people than a government campaign could.
What should be done to encourage more renewable energy in new buildings than domestic and commercial?
In new buildings? So there's standards, there's national planning policy framework, and that's a different bit of government that has responsibility for building regs. So, yeah, I probably shouldn't... I can't comment on that. So.
I guess my question is, what do you think... No, that's not my question. Okay. In your opinion, how could we transition to a fully sustainable energy system? I understand that your background
That's a
is...
big question.
because I'm really interested in your opinion.
Yeah.
To be able to balance on working for head of policy and along with your perspectives, how do you balance that?
Yeah, so we... You know, the UK had the first Climate Change Act that we're committed to legally binding carbon reduction targets. So we have carbon budgets and, you know, we know the trajectory we're on. I don't know what else I can say to that one, really.
Could I ask, you mentioned we're starting the act of, because of the EU in Paris, was that the whole agreement was by 2020 we were to be reduced by 15% or 5%, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm getting the figures wrong.
So we've got 2020, we've got 15% renewables target that the UK's on target to meet. So
are we on our way?
So we're on our way to meet it, so I can, if you're interested, I can send you stuff.
I guess, so about what percentage are we currently on, and why is it, do you think?
I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, okay. But I think it's... Yeah, I mean, we're going to meet it, so...
So there are no worries, you believe, that we are able to meet it?
The renewables one, yeah. Yeah.
What sort of legacy would you like to leave future generations around energy?
I think making decentralised energy happen so local communities can actually reap the value of energy rather than paying an energy bill that kind of goes off to a big six that's owned by, you know, not the UK. So it just goes out the door. So Cornwall, for example, spends £1 billion on their energy bills, so that just leaves. So, you know, really recognising the value energy can play with social, economic, and environmental, and kind of maybe even diverting a little percentage of spend to local energy projects. That, and my legacy, hopefully, would be made it slightly easier.
Are you an optimist or a pessimist when thinking about the future of energy?
Definitely optimist. I think there's so many opportunities and technology. God, you know, in 2010, renewable energy percentage was 1%, I think. Don't quote me on that because I can't remember. And in 5 years, we've gone up to 13%, 14% in 5 years. So it's, it's changing a lot. The technology is getting more efficient. It's really exciting. So
thank you so much. Yeah.